News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning, y'all. It's Dan and Sean today. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Got another big weekend of Auburn football on. Let's see here. Our coverage begins at 10 in the morning?
Yes, that's right. Right after Prep Sports Report, we start with a shortened pregame show.
Okay, and 11 o'clock kickoff, Auburn and Texas A&M. To talk about that, let's huddle up with Jason Campbell, the former Auburn star quarterback, and it's brought to you by the Rolling Tiger Booster Club. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing great. From your perspective, I'm sure that as we analyze not just the Iron Bowl, but the season that Auburn's had to this point, some ups and downs, I'm sure that you look at things a little more technically than we do. But what did you notice a week ago against Alabama where they appear to be a little overmatched?
Yeah, the Alabama game, you know, one thing I always said about the Auburn-Alabama game is that it is, you know, probably the most intense college football rivalry in all of college sports, and in sports in general. But I played in a lot of rivalry games. So you think about this game, it's like, you know, our kids didn't have that swag that they normally go out there with when they're playing against Alabama and look really confident, you know, like they feel like they was going to beat them. I just think that, you know, we just got to get back to that point. Like last year we played LSU and LSU was beating everybody pretty handily except for us. We played LSU with swagger and confidence that we could go in there and beat them. And the same thing we did against Alabama when it came to us last season, and we did that and we beat them because we played with confidence, and you can see it in our body language that we was confident and competitive. I think for whatever reason, you know, maybe our kids, you know, just didn't feel like that they could go in there and defeat Alabama because they're a hot team right now. But I would have to believe differently. I would have to say in that locker room, you always think you got a chance anytime you put a helmet on, especially in that game, because there's been times where it's been flipped where Auburn's been highly ranked and Alabama has almost knocked us off. And there's been times in the past where Alabama was highly ranked and nobody gave us a chance. We went in there and knocked them off. So, you know, I think in that game, had we had a few plays to go our way early, I think it probably would have helped from a confidence standpoint of changing the game. If Seth Williams can make that catch down the field, I think it's a 21-10 game at halftime. Mm-hmm. Makes you a lot more confident if you catch that touchdown pass.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one of those games, Jason, where it's almost like, you know what, everything needs to go right. We can't turn it over. We can't have big penalties. We can't have big drops. And so with that thin margin of error, they weren't able to gain their confidence. And I guess each season it's a different team, right? It's different players on the sideline, different leadership. So you're not always going to have pretty much the same thing year to year. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think missing KJ Britt showed a whole lot in the Alabama game. It also showed in the Tennessee game. You know, you don't ever see our defense get the ball ran on us. You know, like Tennessee did and then like Alabama did. Usually, you know, KJ Britt is a guy that can kind of rally all the troops and get everybody together and say, hey, you know, we got to do this and that, you know, in order to stop these guys. So missing him definitely showed this past weekend, being out there in the field. And like I said, from an offensive standpoint, you know, someone's got to step up and be that real leader. You know, everyone always say, hey, you got to be the quarterback, you got to be quarterback. But, you know, sometimes it needs to be someone other than just a quarterback, you know, that can say, hey, you know, we got to get it together. We got to, you know, take the bull by the horn. Like, someone got to make a play. And I just feel like right now we're still trying to, you know, find our way, you know, as far as, like, who wants to be a – like, people have to understand, to be a leader is not easy. But – it doesn't mean I got to do everything right either. You know, you just need to be someone that people respect and someone that can look at you in the eyes and say, hey, you know, I got you. Let's go. You know, I'm behind you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the aspect that we got to get to if we want to stop all this, you know, where we're up 1 minute, we're down 1 minute. You know, we got to find a way to play consistently tough football. And that's a mental thing. You know, it's a mindset. And I just think right now we got to get back to that standpoint of having a strong mindset and toughness about us as a football team.
Well, we can't avoid the conversation about quarterback. You played it at a high level, and Bo Nix, after a very promising freshman season has had kind of an up and down year. So let's assess where Bo is right now.
Yeah, you know, like he's had an up and down year. When you think about it, the whole thing is like, you know, we beat a lot of these teams that, you know, people expect us to beat, you know, Tennessee, South Carolina, the Kentucky, you know, people expect us to beat them. You know, we're supposed to be a top-tier team in the SEC. When people talk about SEC, you know, it's usually it's Alabama, you know, Georgia, Auburn, LSU, and every now and then Florida. That's Texas A&M is usually that other team that comes in there. That's pretty, like, much it, you know, and everybody else is like the second tier and third tier. But, you know, for whatever reason, this season when we played Georgia, you know, in Georgia, you know, we got beat by a lot, you know, and then we played, you know, an LSU team that's beat up this year and down, which, you know, you don't expect that to happen year in, year out. That's when you lose 20-some seniors like they did, but then you play against a team like Alabama and all of a sudden, you know, we get, you know, run out the building again. So we've got to find a way against these top-tier ranked opponents where we show like, hey, if we don't win today, you darn near gonna respect us though when we leave here, because we gonna know that we came to play. How you gain respect. That's how we gained so much respect last year. Even though we lost to LSU, everybody talked about the Auburn team because how we almost beat them and could have beat them in certain situations had gone our way. And you gain that respect even in a loss.
Yep.
But when you get thumped the way that we got thumped against Georgia and Alabama, it makes people look, you know, and wonder, like, okay, what tier have we become in the SEC? Mm-hmm. And I still believe that, you know, I just think the kids just got to rally together and play together as a team. Like, sometimes I see half the kids trying to play really hard, and then the other half, I don't know if they're all the way there, all the way in there.
It'll be interesting tomorrow against Texas A&M, a team I think, you know, Auburn, they've got a fair shot at that team. They're not. I know that people are talking them up, but I think that's a pretty even game right there. Where do people check you out on social media and talk about your podcast?
Yeah, you can follow me on my podcast, Believe in Auburn. That's BLEAV, and that's IN Auburn. Find us on Apple, Spotify. If you just go on there and follow us and subscribe, it's free subscription. Taylor Beth Davis, who works with ESPN, went to Auburn, and we co-host, and she also was able to cover the first woman last week to kick a ball in a college game. So please check that out and hear her story, hear our recap on that Bama game. And you can follow me on Instagram at jcampbell17 and on Twitter at capital jcam, jcam, _17.
Fantastic. Good stuff for this week, Jason. We'll thank you again and maybe talk to you one more week, okay?
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell. Huddle Up with Jason Campbell is every Friday at this time on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by Rolling Tiger Booster Club. That's a good group, too. Mike Rim and the guys over there, right?
Absolutely.
15 minutes after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Baldwin County, the cleanup over there. We'll hear from Sheriff Mack in a moment, too. That's all on the way on FM Talk 106.5.
Plus, as we're talking sheriffs, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran yesterday saying Sheriff's Department's not going to participate in Mardi Gras. Mm. To me, this is the domino's fallen. I think more will come afterwards. We'll hear from you as well. Phone number 343-0106.
Friday, 8:20, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan along with Sean Sullivan, who's in here for Dalton, who's on the man, hopefully back with us maybe on Monday. That'd be good. By the way, yesterday on the Jeff Porsche Show, Baldwin County Sheriff Hoss Mack was on. He praised the work crews during the months of cleanup in Baldwin County since Hurricane Sally.
The work crews that we have had working in Baldwin County have just been exceptional. We had probably more debris than what most people realize. And it really wasn't evident until about 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks after the storm, because it took people that long to start getting a lot of that debris from the fields, from the residences, out to the roadways.
And for the Jeff Ford Show, of course, weekdays, 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5, or check out the podcast at fmtalk1065.com. You know, I took that ride over there a couple of weeks after the storm, and I was astounded by the amount of debris that was everywhere, especially in the worst hit areas like Alberta, mm-hmm. Foley. It was a lot. And that was 2 weeks after the storm.
Sure.
And I was thinking, what in the world did this place look like the day of the storm? It had to be incredible. It's taken them this long to just carve it up, cut it up, get it to the side of the road.
So Zeta, you know, I talked to John Sharp about this on the show last week. Zeta, they still haven't declared a disaster for Zeta. So, you know, I think about, and thank goodness they declared a disaster and helping folks in Baldwin County, but Mobile County, Washington County, Clark County, I mean, you know, even on over to Monroe County, they're still
on up.
Yeah, and they're not getting the declaration of disaster. And then you have the issue of these municipalities only have so much budget for cleanup.
Sure.
And I mean, I think in this case of Citronelle, Mayor Stringer was saying that the cleanup effort that what they've spent so far, and I get this right, I think is a third of the annual budget of Citronelle.
Mm. Budget for the whole city.
That is correct.
The city budget.
That is correct.
Wow.
So they're waiting to get that. They're waiting. Hopefully that happens sooner than later. I want to point some out, too, as we go through the morning. Because Lord knows, I'm sure that somewhere at the ZipWhip servers, mm-hmm. somewhere in wherever, Encino, California, there's a melting down server. We don't have.
Hey, guys.
We don't have internet here. At the station today, and nor does anybody that uses our provider in this general area here at Airport and 65. So the text line is internet dependent on our end. It's not straight cellular. It's mm-hmm. internet on our side, so we're not getting your text. But good old-fashioned telephones, y'all, that made talk radio what it is at 343-0106.
This is not text radio?
No. And so love to hear from you at 343-0106. Also, people that usually stream us on all the different platforms and mm-hmm. places you can stream us, that's down right now. I believe me, from this morning when we found out to now, I've been doing everything I can. I've got MacGyver-like lines run through.
You've
this
done
place,
it,
you know, trying to make this work. But the issue is that we don't have that. So phone lines are working; they're just fine. But text line not. So if you hadn't gotten a response, well, there's the reason. But you can definitely call us at 343-0106. A couple things though, I want to look at. The website is up. You can check out the website at fmtalk1065.com. Unless you're trying to do it from a corner computer here, you can do it on your phone. And so we asked. This is really interesting. So we asked 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question the other day about Mardi Gras. And I hate to call it Mardi Gras, but because if you move it, I don't think it's Mardi Gras. Right. I think it's something else, but that's probably just me being a stick in the mud.
No, because my wife and I had this conversation yesterday, and she said, you know, Sean's right about that. And I said, yeah, I agree. It's not Mardi Gras in the fall.
No, it could be a party.
Yeah,
it could
exactly.
be an end of COVID, celebrate, mm-hmm. whatever you want to. What did Mark Holliday the other day? He got Cure Fest, you know, something like that. That's good. But we asked this question because it was discussed in a meeting earlier this week with Mobile County Health Department head Dr. Bernard Eichold, who said maybe move the celebration mm-hmm. to the fall. So interesting. So we asked the question yesterday, and you can take part in the poll, number one, on our website, fmtalk1065.com. And number two, you can go to facebook.com/fmtalk1065. Leanna does a great job putting those same questions up there. Mm-hmm. And the question is, would you participate if Mardi Gras was moved to the fall? So yesterday, about time I went on with Midday Mobile, it was in the 70-something percent range that said yes.
Okay.
As of now, it's 38%. And by the way, there's huge traffic on this poll. 38% said yes. Now 62% said no.
The late voting came in.
The late voting came in. We're going to get to that in a second.
That's quite a shift right there.
So, but we'd love for you to vote on fmtalk1065.com or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fmtalk1065.
It's funny about the opinion poll. So yesterday you went on with the clear understanding, hey, man, you guys are all for it. And today we find out maybe not so much.
Right. There's a truck came in from Bethpage, New York, and came into the online opinion poll question, delivered a lot of ballots.
Dumped them all in, yeah. I saw that mess in the back.
Yes, so that's where it is. But that has moved that. So, yeah, so would you Would you go if it's in September, October? I don't know what month it would be, but somewhere in the fall, November. Would you would you participate in that? You can let us know on the telephone and on our online opinion poll question. Speaking of voting.
Yeah.
So three big things, top news stories of the day on FMTalk1065.com. Story number three here, Georgia's Kemp urges signature audit after smoking gun surveillance video emerges from vote count. This is There's some smoke here. Mm-hmm. This is like black powder. Instead of shooting a smokeless cartridge, this is using black powder. I think there's a lot of smoke around this one. So the story says here, Governor Brian Kemp, the Georgia Republican who has been fiercely criticized by President Trump over his approach to allegations of voter fraud in his state, said Thursday that new testimony has raised additional questions and a signature audit should be performed. So remember, Kemp was saying basically move on this. Right? There wasn't much to see here. Move along. Well, I guess he's seen enough now. Kemp was on the Ingram angle, and Laura was interviewing him, and he was referring to surveillance video that allegedly showed poll watchers. Now, this is what I was talking about on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff. I said we had to have a smoking gun. The president had to find something, even though there's a lot of allegations of malfeasance all over the place, let's find some things that are that are tangible, that have handles on them, right?
Right.
And this is one of those things that I think has handles. Okay, so Kemp was on the Ingram angle, referred to a surveillance video that allegedly showed, y'all listen here, poll watchers. Remember how this is done at poll watching. You can have the parties that are represented on the ballot can have their people there to watch the vote counting, right? It's a check and balance way our system is. It's good. You have Republicans there, you have Democrats there, if you have a Libertarian, you have Independent. Okay, so they're watching this. Well, here's how they said it went down. The video that allegedly shows poll watchers being led out of a room at State Farm Arena, the state's largest vote count center, after being told that the vote count was complete for the night. Now, you and I and Dalton and Jeff and everybody were in here for our election night coverage, and I remember that story coming in.
We got that news.
They shut it down. They're going to go back the next day.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so we heard, and I was, of course, I was.
We were dismayed at that
whole
thing.
Ripping around like, oh, poor things. It's election night, and you can't be bothered to work. But this is what they say in this video. It shows here that once that happened and the watchers were let out of the room, okay, so once the doors are closed, a woman could be seen pulling out suitcases from underneath a table that allegedly contained ballots. The votes were allegedly counted for hours with no election supervisors present. Woo!
There's your gun, and
there's the smoke. There's the black powder smoke. It's like a scene from Civil War. There's smoke hanging all over that battlefield. If you watch this, and I have not seen the video.
No, either have
but
I.
But I've seen the description of the video.
Yeah.
If the description of the video is like the narrative put out there, somebody got to answer some questions here, and I think we can ask very concrete questions. It's not this kind of, well, I think, or I feel, or it may seem like, what the hell happened here?
Yeah. Yeah, and Raffensperger's seat just got a little bit hotter. And so
Secretary of State.
Yeah. So now you've got questions that are definitely going to have to be answered about this, and the fact that the governor himself has kind of reversed course on this, that says
who wouldn't reverse? If you saw that and didn't reverse course, I don't care what party you're in. If you saw that and didn't reverse course, then you'd need to be out of office. It'd be recall time.
It is 8:30 now. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwig. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan in for Dalton. And live and in person and in color, it's Louis Arata in studio with McConnell Automotive. Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great. Doing great. So what gets you away from the lot and here into the studios of FM Talk?
I've got to run out to the airport a little bit and see a friend of mine. And okay.
So we're on the way.
Down on Brooklyn. Yeah, they're flying in today and actually flying out, excuse me. But, man, we got the deal of the century going on. We got employee pricing on the whole line except the 21 Yukons, which we got a few of those in the other day. And, y'all, that AT4 Yukon, I don't know if y'all have seen it yet, but y'all have got to get that online. Look at it, and we've got a few coming in. I think we got a couple of black ones coming in that's not sold. And that's the hottest thing going right now. But the employee pricing on pickup trucks, you know, we got a lot of trucks coming in for Mardi Gras. Looks like that's kind of going by the wayside, so we got to get rid of, and now's the time to buy them. Like I said, employee pricing, and we'll give you top dollar for your trade. Don't forget, we've got used cars at McConnellAutomotive.com. You can check those out online. And got any questions, call Gene or I, 251-476-4141.
How about this rainy weather overnight and a little bit this morning? Somebody could have had a little fender bender. What to do then?
That's right. Gary and all the guys and the girls back there will take care of you. You know, you can take some pictures of the wreck and everything and send them to them. And they'll try to get all your insurance needs and everything right over the telephone.
McConnell Automotive, Dauphin and I-65, and McConnellAutomotive.com. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
It is 8:37 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Sean, what's going on?
All right. So a couple things. Number one, that announcement yesterday from the Mobile County Sheriff's Department that they would not be taking part in Mardi Gras. Not a small announcement. And as we've the hot potato game has been played here, as, and I understand it. I'm not doing that pointing a finger. If I'm at the health department or I'm at the city or something like that, I would like it to be the other person that makes that announcement. Mm-hmm. So that's still bouncing around, although the Mobile County Health Department said in no uncertain terms in a conversation earlier this week that if we are at the level we are now, which is the safer,
safer
at home. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, the three levels. We're the medium one, right?
Yeah.
So the same one we've been in. Because I have no internet, it's all off the top of my head. So
yeah.
I think we're safer at home amended right now. So, and Governor Ivey doubled down that she was not even waiting for December 11th to say we're sticking kind of with that plan.
Wear the blooming mask.
Wear your blooming mask. So if that doesn't change, and that's basically what the health department said, then what happens at Mardi Gras would be a violation of the state order of safer at home amended. All right. So that being said, you've got that working against it. Now, the health department says we don't issue parade permits, though. We just give guidance on that. So the city is in charge of parade permits. MPD is who provides public safety at Mardi Gras. In addition, Mobile County Sheriff's Department does as well. So you have the officers in blue and the deputies in brown that are all working together during Mardi Gras. With the Sheriff's Department saying no, they're not going to be part of it, then and by the way, Chief Batiste, who I think is on the mend, Chief Batiste had COVID.
Yeah.
I'm sure here soon from MPD. But that's the city, right? So on the sheriff is a different position because the sheriff is elected position, right? Has a little different scenario and is linked to the county different than the police chief does to the city. But when I don't know how you can, with the Sheriff's Department saying they're not going to be there, I don't know how you can continue going forward with this.
Yeah,
I think we're starting to see the dominoes fall on it. I hope not. I want something to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm also realistic, and when I see things like Mobile County Sheriff's Office confirms non-participation in Mardi Gras parades, I don't have a lot of hope for it right now.
That may kick it down the field where now more of the organizations themselves, Sean, are just going to say, well, if the sheriffs aren't going to do it, and we don't want to incur the expense of trying to prepare for it, and then Mardi Gras is expensive. But at the same time, Mardi Gras is a time where a lot of people make money because of all those expenses,
too.
It's
a big deal. It's a big deal.
You were talking
downtown
yesterday about the throw providers and things like that, and all of the people that they have that work in the warehouse and do that, and how important that is to that little sliver of an industry.
Can't imagine.
Without Mardi Gras, what have they got?
Yeah, and you've got this also, if you're on the retail side of Mardi Gras, because, I mean, a lot of this, we'll think from a city aspect, for municipalities, and I know that this, you know, is true at lesser degrees and, you know, Spanish Forts and Gulf Shores and Dolphin Islands and places, other parades, but Mobile, it's a big deal for the businesses in downtown Mobile and the net gain for tax revenue let alone all the parking towing they get to do. The city, I mean, I wonder how we're going to make budgets meet without all the towing tickets. But you've got that. But
that
now
poor guy from Mount Vernon that didn't know where to, where to park.
I mean, what is it going to be like that being in February without those, don't park here signs up, the purple and gold? So you've got that. But then on the retail side, New Orleans Mardi Gras closed down.
Right.
They shut that thing down.
A month ago.
Now, Mobile in the lurch. And all the other communities in between, the you know, whether it is Dauphin Island or Zachary, Louisiana, if it's, you know, if it's Biloxi, Mississippi, or it's Pensacola, Florida, there are all these areas that do have Mardi Gras celebrations. You've got the throws, you got the float makers, although the float makers made the floats already, but you have the suppliers. This is, you say a sliver. There are many slivers that make up a pretty decent-sized piece of the economy in cities, some more than others. New Orleans and Mobile would lead that, but then there's there are businesses that absolutely that depend on Mardi Gras happening. Right. So I wonder there if there's any kind of, because we're in the world of, you know, we're going to bail out, and we're talking about them working on this deal some more in Washington. Is there going to be a bailout possible for, you know, for folks in that field? And I know I want to say, too, that checking the control room, we got lines flashing. So people, we get those calls cleared at 343-0106. We'll take your call and get you on.
Yeah, it's a shame. But the crazy thing is that we've been dealing with this thing now for more than a half a year. And who would have dreamed, again, you say it again, in March.
We're fixing to come up on it. And if you look at some of the stories, said there were cases in December. You know, that's one of those things on the edge where there's discussion back and forth. But was coronavirus present? I was reading a story the other day about that. Was it? And
Tucker
they say, yes. Yeah, they were saying it was present in December in California. So we're a year of coronavirus.
In people's blood that were donating back then, they found the antibodies, I guess you would say, but they found coronavirus in that blood, and why that story is just coming to light right now.
Doing this for a year. Now here's the thing, I agree. We didn't know we were doing it for a couple months, but we've been doing it for a year. But now we're looking at this next year and this waiting for the vaccine. And people will say, hey, do Mardi Gras because the vaccine starts to get rolled out. Well, we just told you the story for Alabama. We just went from, we were promised like 112,000 vaccines of the Pfizer vaccine. That's now down to 40. And you have to get two doses. Mm-hmm. So that puts it at 20. And it's going to go to frontline, as it should, frontline healthcare workers first, and then people in assisted care facilities in that second. So it's going to be a long time before it gets to the Dan Brennan's of the world.
No kidding. And we had the nurse the other day text us and say, hey, by the way, I filled out the paperwork. I guess it's kind of like, so she didn't really tell us exactly what it was, but it was kind of like, hey, this is coming down, so let us know that you'll be compliant, I guess is what it was all about.
Let's go to the phones, and Karina is in Mobile up first. Hey.
Hey, I just want to say, the Mardi Gras thing, it's pretty much summed up. I mean, we've already got a history on that, and you've already mentioned it. New Orleans last year, you know, not even a year ago. How much is it going to, how many times do you want to hit yourself in the head with the same hammer, right?
Is it big wacky hammer, like one of those big inflatable ones that get thrown at Mardi Gras?
No, maybe a noodle, whatever, noodle on the noodle. But anyway, I'd like to bring up another topic that I think...
Depends on what it is. Go ahead and shoot. I don't know. What topic you got on in mind?
Weather and our weather station thing. Why couldn't we have an adjunct? I mean, I'm delighted to hear about the Brooklyn expansion and the work that's going to be done on that. Why not have an adjunct weather station there? I mean, you know, it's not that far away from the airport, but it is when you consider the elevations and the landscape and stuff and the kinds of impacts that it has, why not have, you know, double?
I don't know if you can do double.
And wouldn't that, I mean, it's the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make use of some of that money that we're trying to use to support Alabama, we need to make or lose.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And scene. So what it goes back to is a discussion from this morning. We're talking to Dr. Bill and looking at, you know, we're in a deficit. We're in a drought for the year for rainfall
totals. Eight inches.
But it's one of these things that you go, I mean, if you live in Alberta, if you live in Gulf Shores, you say, what? Say what? We're in a deficit after, well... Problem is, they take those readings, and they have to have one place that they do that, right?
Yeah.
Now you can have weather stations around, but if you're going to say the because you want to compare over time the same place to the same place to the same place.
Right.
And that was Mobile Regional.
Right.
That's the problem. Now, the idea of having a weather station at, you know, a new Brooklyn airport, which I'm sure they will, heck, there's, you could be a weather spotter yourself, Karina. I mean, there's weather spotters and stations all over. You can look, I love it. You open up your phone and you can see the subtlety and weather in our area. But if you're going to have something that's kept for records, you have to be keeping it at the same place.
One place, yeah.
So you can compare things. I know in today's science, those things don't really matter as much, but old stick-in-the-muds like me would like to compare same place to same place. So if you had a history at Brooklyn or a history at Mr. Phillips' backyard in West Mobile, that's one thing, too.
You could have at it. Look at the 1948 in Mr. Phillips' backyard.
That's
but we
right.
don't, we don't have that, so we got to stick with the airport, I guess, right?
There you go.
FM Talk 106.5, 847. We've given you all we got this morning.
I still got more.
And it's not
got much. Lot to say.
The internet is down. It's 848 now. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. With you, Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan, Mobile Mornings FM Talk 106.5. This is Dan for my friends at Five Rivers Group, and every day you listen to the news, and we're very thankful for that because you listen to News Talk, FM Talk 106.5 to get your news, and we appreciate that. But how's that news affecting you? And it is. It's affecting your financial world, whether you know it or not, and things like your retirement or your kids' college fund. You need someone who can help you work toward your goals and somebody who can help you move forward in any kind of time of change. And we know times of change are, well, time, any time. Things are changing terribly right now. Five Rivers Group at Morgan Stanley here in Mobile, they've got the resources to help you keep moving forward. So why don't you make an appointment with Five Rivers Group? You can call Michael Barnett. He's one of the financial advisors there, 251-470-1092. That's 470-1092. 92. Call Michael Barnett. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC. It is 8:54 at FM Talk 106.5. What else you got on your mind, Sean?
Oh gosh, what do you?
Back to you.
How much time do you have? All right, so
6 minutes.
Okay, a couple things here. And by the way, we're taking your phone calls at 343-0106. 343-0106. This is good. This is actually this is like a little bit of a Lenten fast for the texters that just depend on text. And right now with the internet fail around these parts this morning, us and now finding out more than a couple other businesses in the general area don't have it. So we're not doing your text thing. You can call. So 343-0106. So what I want to say, earlier you mentioned this, and there's been a Jeff Poor spotting here at work. He's ready to go on here in a second.
Saw him.
I got to agree with what Jeff was saying. So with the story out that we mentioned, and it's up, you'll see it, that here we go. It's Obama, Bush, and Clinton to say they're going to get the vaccine publicly to prove the safety.
Yep.
Okay. So they're getting it. And which, by the way, cue internet conspiracy theories, and then they'll go, well, they're not getting the real vaccine. It's a placebo just to make it look like they're getting the vaccine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it never ends on the internet. So.
You're right.
But I don't – this is like – like I said earlier, it's like having John Stamos tell you not to text and drive. You don't. I don't need the celebrity. Maybe, but there's a lot of people that are influenced a lot more by celebrities out there, maybe than I would be.
Yeah.
If the celebrity's telling me about a product or something, and can say they've used it, okay, I get that. But if they're saying, hey, you know, we've told you before texting and driving is bad, but now that John Stamos tells you it is, now you're going to do something differently.
Oh, now I got it.
If I'm going to only make my decision to get the vaccine because, you know, three former presidents get the vaccine, I just don't know that. And
let me put it.
But you think it is? You think
it is?
It's going to be a watershed event.
I think it is. Well, and I know I'm getting beat up on the text line right now. I'm sure, but
if we
can
see it, yes.
Yeah. Two-term presidents.
That makes a difference. See, if it was a
Hall of Famers,
if it was Bush Senior, you would say
no,
can't do it.
Three. Yeah. So your second term is like going to the Super Bowl. So you're a Hall of Fame president. So they've got three Hall of Fame presidents.
All right, let's go to is it Roland or Rollin in Mobile?
Roland.
Oh, Roland. Hey, man.
Hey, man. I have a stepdaughter that's in her early I don't know. I think she's 43 or so. She's a nurse in Pascagoula.
Mm-hmm.
And she said in March that she said most everybody is going to get it. Now, where she, you know, we didn't know that much about it then.
Right. So she said that back in March.
In March. And she's just a, you know, I mean, she's a, you know, pretty high up there, like a director of the OR or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But,
well, yeah, it's
I mean,
contagious.
I don't know, foresight or, you know, where she got that from. I don't know, your premonition or something, but.
Well, if it's as Roland, if it's as contagious as say we've been told,
contagious,
right?
Yes.
So to certain people, certain people not.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing. It's this idea that you can box this thing in, and it's always this way or not always that way. There's so many variables, and I'm sure you know we'll be looking back in 5 years and going, "Oh, what kind of flat earth stuff did we believe about corona back then that we didn't know?" But if it's highly contagious and it goes through the population, would 50% maybe get it? I don't know that. Because there will be people who get it who don't get tested because they don't get real sick. So you may, you know. But I will say this.
We never know that they had it, right.
But I will say this. This is significant for a real number here in the fact that you've got half or less. We're supposed to get 112,000 vaccine doses in Alabama.
Right.
December 14th through 16th is what I was told.
Right.
Story yesterday, we're down to 40,950. As Dan pointed out, you're supposed to have two shots.
Down to 20,000 people.
So, first wave, does that even make it through the frontline medical workers, let alone people in the nursing homes and assistant care?
I don't think it does.
I'll talk about that. Hey, we got Jeff Poore coming your way next, and then I'll do that midday show.
I'll be listening.
Good deal. All right.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan, and y'all have a great day and a great weekend.